going through or what kind of things you're facing, that God is greater than all of that, that you can call upon Him, you can pray your way out of anything. I believe that. If I didn't believe that, if you didn't believe that, we have to just fold up. You can pray your way out of anything. Jonah prayed his way out of the belly of a whale. Amen. And that's pretty tough circumstances right there. But you can actually pray and worship, call upon the name of the Lord, and God is greater than all of this nonsense going on down here. And I'll tell you that you can't let the devil run roughshod over you. Just don't let him get away with it. He will if you let him, but there's a way out of that. Amen. You can worship, you can call upon the Lord, and just keep doing it and keep doing it. Keep reading your Bible, keep praying, and you will have victory over it. Pretty soon all those things will evaporate away that have been plaguing and troubling you. And some of them seem so serious, so impending, so awful. But as I said, God is greater. Hallelujah. With that thought in mind, we're going to go into the Word of God here, but I'd like to pray first. I'd like to welcome all of you here. I'm glad to see you, as always. And it's wonderful to gather like this. Amen. To be empowered by the Spirit. Because there's a wicked spirit, a prevailing spirit of Antichrist out there that's sweeping the land and all the world for that matter. But it seems like this country is a real focal point. It's things have really zeroed in here spiritually on this nation. And we're going to do all that we can in prayer. And you might say, we're just us, this little... It doesn't take numbers, necessarily. But it takes believing people. How many people did it take to pull down Babylon as an empire? Just four. Four. Four people that had so much faith and were so obedient to God, they would not bow to the idolatry, to the music, to the nonsense going on in Babylon. They faced the fiery furnace. Daniel faced other different difficulties, very severe, death itself, and they overcame it all. Amen. But we need to be brave. We need to be tough. You know, some people think a Christian is some lily-livered, spineless person. There's nothing tougher than a true Christian. They've been eaten by lions in the past because they refuse to bow to the system. Amen. And we've got to be tough. We've got to be brave. We've got to be fearless. And all this is possible through the Spirit of God. Amen. In case you hadn't noticed yet, we're near the end of the world. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy great blessings to us. And we are so thankful for Thy Spirit that guides and directs us, even the Holy Ghost. We thank Thee, Lord, for the power of Thy saving blood, for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that guides us and directs us in Thy Word and in Thy strength. And I pray that Thou wouldst lead us and help us now, not only to walk in the way everlasting, but also to do a great work for Thy kingdom's sake and for Thy great name's sake. I pray that Thou wouldst help us, O Lord, to be free from all fear and from all doubt. Let faith and all the other gifts of the Spirit arise within our hearts. Let Thy will be done, O God. Smite the devil and all the powers of darkness, we pray. I pray, O Lord, that Thou wouldst cast out every unclean spirit and force of darkness that has come into this place and that would trouble any of Thy people. I break and I bind the powers of darkness in Jesus' name through the power of the blood that was shed upon the cross of Calvary. Lord, in Thee we put our faith, even in Thee, Lord Jesus. Let Thy will be done and let Thy name be exalted and praised. Let all the encampment of the enemy be put to flight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We come against unseen enemies and very visible enemies, don't we? The devil and his cohorts of wicked spirits are at work, and he has people that help them. Very willing goats that go along with whatever he wants to do. In fact, there's more of them all the time. Don't let that dishearten you. If you know you're right with God, and you're a believer in His Word and His power, you're all right. Amen. You'll be safe. If you're not, then you're going to be on shaky ground. Now, that's just preliminary. I just want to set that straight at the beginning. We are in Isaiah chapter 13. And I'm going to begin today on the sixth verse. You might say you already did that, and several after. I know, I haven't forgotten. But we need to start on verse 6. Now, what this chapter is dealing with is the end of the Babylonian Empire. You might say, then this is a history lesson. No, it's more than that. Much more than that. We are supposed to learn from things that happened long ago that these things could happen again in even greater measure if that lesson is not learned. Of course, there's an old saying that goes like this. History teaches us that men learn nothing from history. Think about that for a little while. How true it is, and how quickly people forget. What we're going to look at is God's declaration of the destruction of your enemy and my enemy, Babylon. Babylon has taken a different form now. It's not a geographical location like it was back here, per se. But it is a very real spiritual kingdom, a kingdom of darkness, a kingdom of error, a kingdom of lies, deceits, temptations. It's called by other names as well. But it seems that Babylon was a name given to a religious system which would capitulate with an antichrist political system to try to bring all the world into a one-world system of enslavement. And boy, have they moved along. And am I worried about it? No. Because I pray a lot. Because I believe the Lord. Because I know what the Bible says. He will take care of His people. We will be safe. The Bible says in the last days we will do exploits. Some people like the world well enough where they just like it to go on and on. Are you insane? You want it to go on and on like this? Well, my little niche of it isn't so bad, you might say. But it's interlocked with a lot of other bad things, and if you haven't noticed it yet, they're creeping into your little niche. And pretty soon your little niche is going to be gone too. And there's nothing you can do about that. All we can do is call upon the Lord and live in His kingdom and give it everything we've got spiritually, and you will be blessed. In the midst of all adversity, you will be uplifted. There's victory to be won. Amen. So, with that thought in mind, let's look at what's happening here. Remember, the Babylonian Empire oppressed Israel. Now God was saying the Babylonian Empire is going to get theirs. But not only that, you will notice the segment beginning here with the sixth verse pertains not only to an ancient empire, but by the context itself, it'll become obvious it's pertaining to right now because He says He will do this to the whole world. Watch. How will ye, it says in verse 6, how will ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. See, all the heroes, the Antichrist heroes in that day will be gone. There's a lot of hero worship going on, you know. Young children, they watch these movies with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone, Rambo, and all these guys, these big superheroes. And they think, oh, that man is unstoppable. He's invincible. There won't be any heroes in the very, very last days when God begins to pour out His judgment. The Bible says that every man's heart shall melt. You know why? Because they're under the influence of an antichrist spirit. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. And I mentioned Wednesday night when I touched on this, the reason God uses the analogy of a woman in travail is because there is no way of backing out of it. You talk to any woman who's ever had a child, and she will tell you that the thought has crossed her mind while she's delivering that baby, this is something I have to do. I can't change my mind. See, this is going to have to happen. See? And incidentally, once a woman has a child, your life changes forever. I want to talk to you young people for a minute. Don't fool around. Because you might think that's a cute little baby to have, but you're never the same again, ever. Because that baby's always there for the rest of your life. You see? And it's meant to be in the context of marriage. Anything else is absolutely strictly forbidden by God and cannot be justified. And I want to talk to you young people, before it would happen to you, don't let it happen to you. The best way is just to not get involved in fornication at all. You don't need to. Don't watch what the world's doing. The world is wrong. Don't let them set the trend for your life. You need to rebel against the system of this world by being obedient to God. Amen. Anyway, he uses this analogy because a woman with child is stuck. I mean, she's got to deliver. In other words, this judgment that's coming has to come to pass. The time will come. God hath appointed a day, it tells us in Acts 17, in the which he will judge the whole world. So this will happen. No changing it. They shall be amazed, it says, at one another. Do you realize how many people live in a false security today? I mean, people out there, I deal with people at the university all the time, and they're thinking, well, I work for the state. The state will take care of me. I got all these insurances. I can't lose my job unless I do an awful lot of terrible things. And no matter what happens, the state will find the answer. Or the federal government will find the answer. But there's always going to be something. We will be taken care of. They're in a cradle of false hope, you see? And that's all going to crumble. That's all going to fall. What we need to do as Christian people is remember this. Our God is the one we put our trust in. And if you put your trust in the state, and you put your trust in the government has become your God. And that's a very poor idol, I'll tell you. Okay, more on that later. Now, it says their faces shall be as flames. The reason that metaphor there is used, it doesn't mean their faces will be on fire, but they will be as flames in that they will be intense. There are no secondary thoughts. It's a one-track mind. We've had it. And their faces will be intense with fear, with pain, and what a better way to describe it is there than to say as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger. Can you imagine what's going to happen to all of these arrogant, cocky, wise guys and wise gals that defy God? The professors, the lawyers, the judges, the different types of people that think they're all it. When all of a sudden the heaven opens up and here's the judgment of God coming down. Come on, that's going to be quite a day, isn't it? That's the day of accounting. Just like when, a good example of that, remember Belshazzar having his big feast? Big drunken feast, called all the governors together, got together in the big dining hall there, celebration hall in Babylon. And they were eating and they were drinking and they were getting pretty drunk. They're starting to have a little blurred vision maybe, feeling single, seeing double and all that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, a thought pops into Belshazzar's mind. Now, he's the king. He's the big wheel. So I know what I want to do now. Bring in those sacred vessels from the temple of the God of Israel. I'm going to drink wine out of those vessels unto my God, Nebo. That's what I'm going to do. Get those temples that were dedicated to the God of Israel, and I'll drink wine to my God, Nebo. I'll show him. I'll fix him. So he does that. And all of a sudden, a hand, and they're laughing it up, and they're having a big time enjoying all of their corrupt system. And all of a sudden, a hand appears. Just a hand, part of a man's hand, writing on the wall. Did you ever hear that expression? I see the handwriting on the wall. What does that mean? It's all over, pal. Huh? This guy was really having a big time, but when God writes on the wall and says, that's it. You are weighed in the balances and are found wanting. You're coming up short. You're not right with God. And God wrote on the wall, you, Belshazzar, are weighed in the balances. You're found wanting. Well, things began to change a little bit. He also said, I have numbered your kingdom and have finished it. And I've given it to the Medes and the Persians. You know what the Bible says happened to Belshazzar? It says that the joints of his knees were loosed and began to knock one against the other. He got so scared, his knees involuntarily began to beat against each other. That's how scared he was. Now where was the big party? See, the Lord is the death of the party. Huh? He put that thing down real quick. All of a sudden, the laughing stopped. Now it was getting serious because God stepped in and said, you, Belshazzar, and your kingdom, you have had it. It's all done. It's all over with. It's finished. This very night, the Medes and the Persians are coming in. How did they get into Babylon? See, the reason they were so cocky and so arrogant is because Babylon was secured with high walls. Walls that were so thick that you could ride three chariots side by side around the top of those walls. The city the size of Milwaukee and walls all the way around it. Huge. And protected. The gates were incredibly thick and formidable. Now, they did have a river. The Euphrates River ran through the city. They had bridges in the city, beautiful structures. It wasn't some caveman type of a setting. This was an amazing city, the capital of that empire. But the way that the Medo-Persian army got in is they stopped the river. They built a dam. And the river began to decrease, and suddenly it stopped. They went in under the wall on the riverbed with the army and took the city. That same night that the handwriting was on the wall. Praise God. This world today thinks that with all the technology they've got, with all of this one world army they're building, and I'll tell you, they're building it not against the Russians, not against the Chinese, they're building it against God. They actually think that with their Star Wars and HAARP and all this different stuff, they're going to stop the Lord. I got news for them. They're going to get theirs. God made all of this. He spoke it into existence. You see, they don't believe in Him. They don't understand the greatness and power of God. That's why they do all this stupid stuff. You and I would think, why would anybody be so dumb as to try to build an arsenal against God? It's been done in the past. It's being done now. With Bill Clinton as commander-in-chief. Now, read on with me if you would. Verse 9 says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Again, people might say, that's just Babylon. No, that's now too. Read on. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. He's going to put out the sun, the moon, and the stars. You going to be ready in that day? Most of the people won't be. Most of the people of this world don't believe this and won't want to hear it. And most people have watched so much television and so many movies that this isn't even real to them anymore. Everything, talk about special effects. People's minds have become numb with special effects. Nothing moves them anymore. They're pickled in the brine. It says in verse 11, and I will punish the world. See, not just Babylon now, but the world. For their evil. See, now there's the problem, isn't it? You know what the number one problem with this world is? Sin. You know what the number one sin is? Pride. And it leads to all the rest, by the way. But the proud look is listed number one in Proverbs, isn't it? These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And it starts out, a proud look. How many of these arrogant officials and these people that have lifted themselves up in this Babylonian system and this Antichrist empire that we're living in, How many stand up in pride saying, look at me, look at my robes, look at my medal, look at my authority, whatever gives me or my certificate. The pride in this nation is sickening, isn't it? And people are continually living in pride. I want a bigger car or a bigger boat. I want to outdo my neighbor. I want to be better than that person. I want to climb the ladder of success. And I continually hear the words of the prophet Elijah, or Elisha rather, when he said, is this a time to get wealth? Remember his servant Gehazi? Is this a time to accumulate wealth and to build an empire? No, 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 we don't want anything to do with that. Amen. Our kingdom lies before us. And we're living in it in the Spirit even now. But the stars of heaven, the constellations, the sun, the moon, it's all going to be darkened. The world will be punished for the evil. It says, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Watch this verse, verse 12. I will make a man more precious than fine gold. Precious there means rare or scarce, not many of them. Even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. The golden wedge of Ophir was a treasured wedge of gold because it was pure. You might say it was 0.999 fine. If they had assayers back then, I think they did a little of that. The alchemists worked and they had ways of refining and so forth. But what he's saying here is a man, a real, honest-to-goodness man that's not been illuminized or feminized would be so scarce that that man would be more valuable than any gold. It's more treasured. In other words, in God's eyes, that man would be very hard to find. Do you know how hard it is nowadays to find a man who's really a man? A lot of them have turned into women. They're lily-livered. They won't stand up to anything. And what happens to the women? Well, I guess if he's going to be a woman, I'll have to take care of him. You know, I thought I married a man, but I ended up marrying a five-year-old in a man's body. So the women balance the checkbook, and the woman takes the car down to get it fixed. The woman does everything, and the man just kind of sits there and takes no position of authority at all. It's not supposed to be like that. Come on. Amen. I'll make a man more precious than fine gold. Some of them actually are queer. Lots of them. Then there's more of them that are pro-queer, neo-queer, you might say. There's the sympathizers and the fellow travelers with the queerdom that's going on. It's getting bad out there. Where is the masculinity? This is what God is saying. Hard to be found. And therefore, for that very reason, how do you think God feels about this queerdom we're living in? For that very reason, it says, therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place. Sounds to me like the Lord doesn't like the queer system very well. Amen. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. Now some might say, Meyer, why are you preaching all this hellfire, brimstone, end of the world stuff? Well, it's in the Bible. Amen. It is. And some would say, well, isn't there a verse that says God is love? Oh, yes. But what did they do to his love? Huh? Slapped him in the face when he expressed it. And it shall be as the chaste. Now watch, here he's going to specifically deal now with the geographical ancient Babylon. We got to differentiate this. Although you will find that these things can happen again. Watch. It shall be as the chaste roe, and as a sheep that no man taketh up. In other words, a stray sheep. They shall every man turn to his own people, and flee every one to his own land. Boy, now that's interesting, isn't it? Right there. You've got this multiculturalism. Gag me with a spoon. Multiculturalism going on. At the university, they've taken over. They've literally taken over the place. Did you know that if you are a Hmong, or if you are black, or if you are Hispanic, or if you are one of these other, or queer, one of these other minorities, you can get in to the university system on a different, there's a different criteria. You can have lower grades, and if you're a minority, you can get in with lower grades. You are preferred. They want you. What really bothers me about all this is I ran into this Hispanic woman the other day over at Dempsey Hall, which is the big flagship building, you know, it's where they run the administration out of. And in every case, these minorities are cocky and arrogant. They're like Hillary Clinton. They won't talk to you. They won't say anything, which is all right. I don't want to talk to them anyway. But some will say, well, you're a racist. It isn't that. It isn't that at all. These people have come in and have literally taken over based simply on the fact that their skin is a certain color. Even Martin Luther King made the statement, well, you heard it right. Martin Luther King made the statement that the day would come when, or should come and so forth, when a man wouldn't be judged by the color of his skin but the content of his character. If that be the case, I'll tell you the content of their character doesn't look too good to me. And this has been put upon them, and these different multicultural races, and Indians as well, these all different ones, they come in feeling like, well, I'm the pride and joy of the school. They owe me. And they come in with scholarships. They come in, it's all paid for. You know, the other ones all have to go out and get a job and work hard. Most of them don't. They go on a drunk. The whole thing has just literally collapsed. But it's collapsed because of the ungodliness. Because of the prejudice, if you want to call it that, on the part of the minorities toward the others. It's really getting sick out there. In fact, I've got a little complaint against the university right now. I'm trying to figure out how to pursue it. When we get our check, they always give us, like Cracker Jacks, a little surprise in every pack, you know? And they give us this bulletin. Of course, my check always has these government teeth marks in it. And you've had those too, haven't you? All right. They give us this bulletin, and I highlighted this. You can't read it from there unless you really have tremendous eyes, but here's what's going to go on in October, and they picked the perfect month for it, too. And I just got this, so I'm trying to decide what to do with it, because I want to ask a question in advance. Where is this separation of church and state thing? It says here, Buddhist monks from Tibet construct intricate sand mandala. Now, you know what a mandala is. That's that wheel of life thing, you know, that they make. It's New Age. New Age loves those things. And it says, in regard to the events happening, the most ambitious event may be the visit by the exiled monks of Sirajay Monastery, yes. That's what it's about, though, really. Monastery, you find out at the end. Monastery in southern India. In addition to construction of the large mandala, the monks will perform in a concert featuring both traditional song and dance, and high-tech video imagery. And they will deconstruct the mandala in a public ceremony. And I said, why would they take the mandala apart? You'll find out. Three monks will create the mandala, literally one grain of sand at a time, between October 1st and October 11th. Now, the reason that they're having the ceremony on the 11th, after it's completed, is because that's the eve of an eclipse of the sun. So they picked a perfect time for this. The public can watch, they don't tell you that in here, I found that out. The public can watch daily from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Hey, that's how I could spend my lunch. Run over there and have a sandwich and watch these monks make this mandala. Maybe I'll forget the sandwich and go over and watch them and just pray. I mean, after all, it's religious, isn't it? If they can sit there and religiously construct this thing, why can't I sit there and pray? The law says I can't. It's a university. It's a public university, and you can't have prayer in the schools. But they can do it because they're New Age, you see? Well, that's all right. I'm getting to like my job less all the time anyway. Maybe this is the answer to my prayers. Maybe they'll... Oh, a lot of good things could happen. Anyway, three monks will create the mandala, literally one grain of sand at a time between October 1st and 11th. The public can watch daily from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And on October 11th, the monks will demonstrate their traditional orchestral and vocal techniques at 12:40 p.m. Music Department Colloquium that is free and open to the public. The demonstration will include the awesome voice, the chanting in which the monks can simultaneously produce a deep fundamental tone and loud overtones that are octaves higher. So they're going to be in there chanting and calling in all those spirits right at the beginning of the school year to really set the trend for the whole year. And Oshkosh has trouble the way it is. You talk about a bunch of rowdies. So they're going to be bringing these monks in. And what they're doing is invoking spirits. You got to understand that. They're calling devils into the place. And I already thought we had plenty there. Sirajay monks will perform awesome chants, it says, and will deconstruct the mandala of Hayagriva, the protector deity of their monastery, in a ceremony beginning at 2 p.m., and in the ritual, the monks will distribute some of the sand to all members of the public in attendance, and with traditional music and dance, proceed to the Fox River to dispose the rest of the sand. The rite is symbolic of the traditional Buddhist teaching of the impermanence of all things. What are they doing? They want you to take some of their sacred sand, which will draw spirits, and have you put it in a little vial or take it home with you, and then you can be plagued by the devils that were invoked by the mandala. That's why they're going to take it apart. They want everybody to have some of their pie. Anybody going? And then, of course, the rest of what you dump in the Fox River, which, of course, will really attract spirits to the whole region as the river flows through the whole area.
Where's the DNR?
Yeah, where is the DNR? What would happen if I'd go and start dumping sand in the river? Huh? Maybe I ought to try that. It's an old tradition with my family. I dump sand in the river. Gishe Sopa, a leading Buddhist monk and scholar who leads a monastery near Madison. You got to bring Madison in there. what could I say? I better not go into that. We'll attend the deconstruction of the sand mandala. It says, journey to the heart of Tibet in sacred music and dance at 7 p.m. at the music hall. Will be at 926 Woodland Avenue. The monks will dance, sing, and perform on 12-foot mountain horns, thigh-bone trumpets, and other traditional instruments that date back hundreds of years. A digitally enhanced soundtrack and state-of-the-art slide and video imagery backdrop will portray the culture, history, and spirituality of Tibet. Boy, this is just what they need, isn't it? The original three monks will be joined by 11 others for the 7 p.m. performance at the university's music hall. The Sirajay monks have been touring the United States since February 1995 to raise money. Remember a little slip of the tongue there, monetary earlier? To raise money for their overcrowded monastery in Karnataka, India. Buddhist scholar Dennis Lichka of Religious Studies Department arranged the visit. Well, thank you, Dr. Lichka. How serious is something like that? Well, pretty bad, because they're going to be invoking hordes, thousands of wicked spirits into that area, and then disseminating them to all the people that are stupid enough to take the sand home with them. And how many people you think will want some? And then to dump the rest in the river to send it downstream toward you. Then doesn't the fox run into Lake Winnebago? It's on the way. It's coming down the stream there. Ruth? Well, that was also on the eve of the Olympics, which is 13 days before Lunasa, the witches' Pentecost or harvest festival, a big Sabbath with the witches. If anybody doubts that all these things are planned out, think again. These things are planned out all by occultism, and God judges it accordingly. You watch it. Now, this coming October is one of the most occult months I've ever seen. There's an eclipse of the sun and an eclipse of the moon. There's all kinds of other different aspects that come into that. But they're really gearing up, and it's right before an election. I mean, it's perfect timing for them. But God is going to come in, I don't know when, and clean out the whole works. You can be sure of that. But we're in for some very, very rousing times here before long. And you will be roused up by the Spirit if you're walking with the Lord. It goes on and says in the Scripture that, and by the way, pray about this. I'm seriously thinking about filing charges against them on this separation of church and state thing and say, hey, where is that in regard to why can't I pray and how come these guys can? I'm trying to figure out what to do about it, so help me pray about that. There's not much time. So it tells us then, That in verse 15, every one that is found shall be thrust through, and every one that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. In other words, if you're one of those that cooperates with the system, you go down. Their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes, their houses shall be spoiled, and their wives ravished. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eye shall not spare children. Now these are the Medes that will come in against Babylon. You might say, that's terrible. Yeah, it was. But look at the idolatry they had. They had no regard for children. They were killing them too. You might say, what about this nation? And we have such compassion. We have so much compassion that we abort babies right and left. We wait until they're coming out of the womb, then we knock a hole in the back of their head and suck the brains out, and then take them out of the womb. Yeah, we've got a lot of compassion in this country. Sure, they have no conscience at all. Yes, that's coming. Thanks for reminding me of that. Thank you for reminding me of that, Lynanne. Yeah, RU486 is what it is. And for those that don't like to swallow pills, you can get it in liquid form. Have a little late night drink and kill your baby. You know who pushed for that in this country is Hillary Clinton. That was experimented on in France, and of course she wanted it here. And it was given priority over all other things by the FDA because Hillary Clinton ordered the FDA to hurry up and put that in top priority status. You've got to hurry up and get that in the hands of the women. You know what happens? They go out and they fornicate and they come home and think, oh no, I'm pregnant. Well, all I have to do is just drink this and away we go. Hey, there's a human soul involved there. You've just killed somebody. Ruth? Well, there's such hypocrisy. There's such hypocrisy in the system. And in fact, speaking of hypocrisy, in regard to this thing at the university, we'll probably have more information on that coming out in the official paper of the theater at Oshkosh, The Hypocrite. That's the name of it. Because the word hypocrite from the Greek means actor. So they call their paper The Hypocrite. There'll be more info on it. Hypocrisy is the way of life with these people. They don't care. Now, it goes on and says in 19, "And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah." It's coming down. "And it shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there." Now, an Arabian will pitch his tent anywhere, but not there. "Neither shall the shepherds make their fold there, but wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there, and the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant places. And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged." And you look at this world right now and you might say, how does that pertain? Do you realize how many houses right now are full of doleful creatures, wicked spirits? Dieter handed this to me this morning. Let me get this open so you can get a nice big picture of this, big view of this. Oh, I dropped part of it. That's all right. But there it is. Huh? There's some representatives, some doleful creatures. That's KISS. It says, pucker up. They're back. Just what we need. You know? Look at those characters. Kings. By the way, in case you didn't know it, KISS is an acronym. It stands for Kings in Satanic Service. And these are real Satanists. These people are from a satanic church. They've admitted that. And very much involved. In fact, the priest in a satanic church is called a king. That's his title. All three of these are high priests in a satanic, or four of them rather, high priests in a satanic church. And they're out there to curse our nation again. Yeah. Yeah, the chain, right. Actually, he's got five chains coming out of the ring. Yeah, this, if you want to see this later, fine. But it's amazing. These are the kind of things that bring a curse upon a nation. And the fact that there's such public acceptance of this. Millions of dollars will be made. People buy tickets everywhere. These young people go and gather for this stuff. Did you ever notice... Let me ask you a question. Did you ever notice how many people in their homes have owls and frogs? My mother was an owl collector. She had an owl clock, an owl cookie jar, statues of owls. She loved owls. And an owl will attract a wicked spirit, an image of an owl. So will a frog. These are all part of those doleful creatures. Horses into their homes because they got this kind of junk in there. Little idols, little images, little statues. Of course, that Budweiser, of course, likes the frog because that's made millions of dollars with their commercial. Remember that commercial?
Budweiser.
Huh? Three frogs croaking? Sister Pat was telling me, yeah, just like in Revelation. Three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet, and out of the mouth of the dragon. Right? Ah. I picked up a Locksmith Trade magazine and opened it up, and there was they had three frogs in there advertising Lab pins. Lab is a company, L-A-B, that makes tumbler pins. And Arnie, you've seen that, I'm sure. Did you see that article by chance? Did you? Okay. Labbit. That's what they're saying. But all this is an indicator. But people have brought rock music and junk into their homes. You're inviting trouble. It's opening the door saying, come on in, devils. Your stuff's in here. You might as well hang around too. And you don't have to invite them. Just by having it, they'll come in. And there'll be trouble. I don't know if you've noticed it yet, but we're surrounded. Huh? We got to start fighting. Here's another little thing that kind of stirred me up. And I want to read this to you because I think it'll be helpful to understand how corrupt things are becoming. Here's a little paper, and if you want one, I think I got 40 of them with me because I anticipated you'd probably want some of these. It's called The Truth About Walt Disney Company. Okay? Now, they have the reputation of being family-oriented. Everything's nice and fine with them, and they're very fine and wonderful people, and they like to leave out all the nasty stuff. Well, let me read this to you. At the very top, it says, in regard to children's animated movies, it says, in the film Pocahontas, Disney purposely censored out the historical fact that the heroine in the story converted from paganism to Christianity. See, they conveniently left that out. Disney signed Martin Scorsese, the director of The Last Temptation of Christ, to a 4-year contract. Now, what's he going to do for him? Disney hired Victor Salva, a convicted child molester, to direct its movie, Powder. When Salva's victim, Nathan Winters, now 20, publicized the hiring, some of the police officers who investigated the 1987 molestation said they were incredulous that Salva was working again as a movie director. "It just blows me away," said Officer Gary Primavera. "He has serious signs of being a pedophile." One Disney official, John Dreyer, refused to respond to Winter's demand that Disney fire Salva, saying, "What's the point, other than you want to make the headlines?" Newsweek magazine reports that Disney is considering buying a movie called Ripe, which is about the deflowering of 14-year-old twins. Disney hired Kevin Smith to produce two movies. Number one, Dogma, which attacks Christianity by asserting that Christian beliefs are little more than Christian mythology. And two, Chasing Amy, is an account of a man's pursuit of a lesbian. Next fact is, Mark Gill, the president of Disney-owned Miramax, the company which released the anti-Catholic movie Priest, admitted that his company thrives on racy, often violent promotion for its movies. Disney-owned Miramax released the homosexual movie Lie Down with Dogs. Diane Disney Miller, Walt's daughter, publicly condemned the Disney company's involvement with Oliver Stone's historically inaccurate movie Nixon. In a letter Miller wrote to the Nixon family, she said, "I am ashamed that the Walt Disney Company, the company of my father created, is associated with this disturbing distortion of history." Not surprisingly, Disney officials refused to comment on the letter. Disney recently bought Capital Cities ABC for $19 billion. On March 19th, ABC aired a Dana Carvey show program which featured jokes and laughter about alcohol abuse and cocaine addiction. The same show had a skit called Under Five on Comedy Central. in which children made crude jokes and resorted to name-calling. Also on the show, Carvey portrayed George Washington using cocaine and Ben Franklin in bed with another man. The same program had a cartoon skit entitled The Ambiguously Gay Duo, in which two Superman-style heroes are homosexual lovers and drive a supercar shaped like male genitalia. It's all coming out of Disney. Finally, a celebrity's bloopers spoof featured 17 uses of the F word, bleeped out, of course, but its intent was clear. Disney is helping promote the 6th annual Gay and Lesbian Day at Walt Disney World. Gay and Lesbian Day. Disney has allowed the homosexual organizers to portray Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck as homosexual lovers, and Minnie Mouse and Daisy Duck as lesbians. Well, that'll be good for the children, huh? Disney has extended company health benefits to live-in partners of homosexual employees. The policy does not cover unmarried heterosexual couples who live together. Got to be queer to get the benefits, see? Disney President Michael Eisner is quoted as saying he thinks 40% of Disney's 63,000 employees are homosexual. 40%. Disney has the largest gay and lesbian employees organization in the entertainment industry. In regard to their books, Hyperion, I think you pronounce it, Hyperion Press, a Disney-owned subsidiary, has published Letting It All Hang Out, the autobiography of RuPaul, a well-known drag queen transvestite entertainer. Hyperion Press also published Growing Up Gay, written by three homosexual comedians. The book is aimed at gay youngsters who were bred by heterosexuals. According to Harper's Magazine, Hyperion is planning to publish Daniel Harris's book about gay culture. So what's going on? You see? We have a world that has literally become saturated with evil, and it's moving so fast that people are losing track of it. Louis? Yeah, yeah, they've been using it now for some time, but my point I'm trying to make, of course, in all of this is that this is not the world you used to live in. This is not the country you used to have. There isn't even really any more Washington, D.C. It's now the state of New Columbia. I don't know if you knew that or not. The state of New Columbia. Anybody know that? Boy, they covered that up. That was on a little blip in the paper about that big some time ago. I've got all the information on it. Furthermore, as the state of New Columbia, all the other 50 states, the way the charter and everything is set up, and Congress did this, all the other states have to follow the charter and the regulations, the ordinances and statutes of the state of New Columbia. In other words, that state sets the trend and all other states have to follow it. Isn't that interesting? They have their own flag. I'm trying to remember what that looks like. There's stripes on it. I'll bring a picture of it. I'll show you this stuff later on. But it's not what you once had. It's gone. And people are still living under the false impression that there are certain things they can depend on. You can depend on Disney, you know. You can depend on good, wholesome entertainment. You can depend on that you got a constitution. You can depend on the court system. Certainly they're fair and impartial. All this kind of stuff. No, none of that's there. You can depend on churches and pastors, right? Church organizations. You see, that's all gone. They're a part of it. They've sold out. They've capitulated with the enemy. This is a strange time we're living in. It had to happen to somebody. It might as well happen to us, huh? or we're near the end. And you've got to hold on and make sure that you're not cooperating with the enemy. Remember what it's saying here. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there. Where? In the homes and in the lives of people who cooperate with Babylon. And their houses shall be full of doleful creatures. If people could see what's in their houses, the invisible things in their houses, they'd run to prayer. And owls shall dwell there, spiritually now. And satyrs shall dance there. What kind of celebrating is going on in the houses of people that are supposed to be Christian and they've got all this trash in their house? And the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces. And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. What are we going to do about it? We're going to make sure we're free of that stuff. We're going to make sure we're living right for God, in the spirit of holiness and the power of His name. And we're going to keep fighting it and pray, preach, distribute literature, do all that you can to try and wake people up and pull them out of this stuff. This is not just geographical Babylon. It's spiritual Babylon. And we're dealing not just with a human army. We're dealing with unclean spirits that inhabit that human army. Amen. I hope that doesn't scare you to the point where you're frightened and throw in the towel. I hope what this does is fire you up, and I believe if you've really got Christianity, it will fire you up and make you strong. There's something to fight against. There's a cause. Amen. Stand with me. So we bring this to a close. How many would like a copy of this Disney thing? We've got 40 of them here. I think there's probably enough for everybody to have two of them if you want them, but I'll put them down here in front, and feel free to take one or two or whatever you want. I can always get more. I went through a whole toner cartridge in 1 week this past week, and a lot of people wanted the Billy Graham information and other things. Letters have poured in. I have a stack of letters at least 12 inches high, and the word's getting out. Praise God. So, keep us in prayer. I'll keep you in prayer. And let's close with prayer right now. Father in heaven, we are thankful today that Thou hast brought us to this place where we could hear and consider these things. Also, a place where we could be enriched and lifted up by Thy Spirit so that we would not live in fear and doubt, but rather in the spirit of Thy overcoming victory. Lord, let our faith be great. And help us to walk closely with Thee and to hear Thy voice and to do Thy will. I pray that we would be free of all fear of anything that would try to beset us. O Lord, help us to be invincible in the Holy Ghost and to walk in the right way and to do Thy will. Let every devil and unclean spirit be cast out from us, be away from us and from around us. We just ask, O God, that Thou wouldst guide and direct us in the way everlasting. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.